This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that's all about the sights, the sounds, the scenes, and on Tuesdays, the listeners. We got a lot of comments to get to tonight. That Kaleidoscape interview from Friday, a lot of buzz. I'm very surprised by it, very surprised. And I'll get into more of that when we get to that, but first off, let's start with thank you to my 14 patrons. Thank you for supporting the podcast monetarily. Thank you for everything that you guys do. Really appreciate it. If you'd like to become a Patreon supporter, you can go to patreon.com/ Brightside Home Theater. We'll get to more of that in a second. And you can sign up to become a Patreon supporter, and they take as little as a dollar and as much as you'd like. And it helps me pay for the things to run this podcast. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much to everybody. You don't have to do it, but it is greatly appreciated. But there's other ways to support the podcast as well. You can just support the podcast very easily by retweeting, tweeting, joining, and following me on Twitter. That's how my name gets out there. That's how people start to hear more about me. I'm not really on Facebook, but all of my Twitter followers, that's what's helping grow this podcast. And we're having a great conversation over there. Lots of fun stuff going on. That's where a lot of these comments come from. And new this week, we have AV Nirvana followed me. Todd's been following me for a while. Todd and I have been talking for a while, as a matter of fact. And finally, AV Nirvana stepped up and followed along. Thanks, Todd. Generally Nerdy also followed. Generally Nerdy is one of my partners over there at Nerdy Legion. He's runs Comic Talk Today, the podcast over there. A lot of fun listening to that. I listen to him every week. He's on twice a week. Short podcast that just hit you with everything about it. Generally Nerdy, anything that goes on, and a lot of fun. So check that out. Check out all the podcasts over at Nerdy Legion, and you can go to nerdylegion.com for that. Also following this week, we had Bill O'Dell followed me on Twitter, as well as Daddio77 following on Twitter. I like that one, 77. Daddio77. I'm a big Ray Bork fan, so 77 is pretty cool to me. All right, let's get, one last way you can support the podcast is you can go to TeePublic and you can buy merchandise. I got a text last week yelling at me from my son because he's like, "Dad, that's not the only way that they can support the podcast. You have to do this because if you don't do it, you don't ask." And he listens to a lot of podcasts. He watches a lot of YouTube. And he's like, "It's not bad to ask. If you don't ask, they don't know." Okay. So you can go to TeePublic, Brightside Home Theater, or / Brightside Home Theater, or just search Brightside Home Theater. It's the only one. It'll pop up, and there's t-shirts, mugs, all sorts of stuff that have the Brightside logo on it. And if you wear it out, it's great because then it gets people talking. When I wear my home theater stuff out, people are like, you have a home theater? And it does. It creates a buzz, and it's a lot of fun. You get some great conversations, and maybe we get some new listeners out of it as well. And I get a couple of bucks if you buy something. So it's a win-win right there. All right. Hopefully that satisfies my son, and we can move on. All right. First comment this week, we're going to talk about Patreon for a second, because this is a pet peeve from Andy. He says, "Hi, DJ. I have been listening to your podcast now for nearly a year, and I enjoy it very much." Thank you. That said, I do have, and he said thank you. That's not my interjection. He says, "Thank you. That said, I do have a minor quibble. Would you mind simply saying patreon.com/ Brightside Home Theater? I realize you're old school and well accustomed to saying something. to saying something, something, backslash something, and that was quite relevant back in the DOS days or DOS days for command line actions. However, on the web, it's always something, something, slash. Other than that, love what you do. Cheers, Andy. And yes, Andy, I will make every effort to say slash. But it is, I cracked up when I saw this. I was actually on my way into a hockey meeting with my son. I also work for USA Hockey. And we were going into a meeting and I got your email. And I showed it to him and we were laughing because he's like, he's right. And I go, I know. I know you're right. But the problem is, it's like when he pointed out to me, just like you're pointing out, it used to be backslash when you needed to say backslash. Now that has become the common slash. And if you need the other one, you say forward slash, which I think is funny. Instead of, it's weird. But I will make every effort to say slash, but it is difficult for me because if you listen to this coming Friday's podcast, which I've already recorded, I recorded it before this a couple of days ago, but I recorded it after I got your email. So you'll hear me laugh in the podcast because I'm like, when I say, you know, Patreon slash, and I hesitate. So it is kind of funny. And I do like, this is why, this is one of the reasons I wanted to be able to do stuff like this and be able to talk to you guys about anything that you send my way, any criticisms or anything like that. And I believe I got this email from Andy, if I remember right. I got this email before last week's podcast even went out. And I had said, I replied to Andy saying, I'm like, did you hear my podcast already? Because it wasn't last Tuesday's podcast before it even went out. Because I said anything, you know, I'll take criticisms. I'll take anything you got. And, you know, and he had already sent this in. So I thought that was pretty funny. And it's a great example of, you know, hey, I'll listen to anything. Critiques are great. And yeah. And he's also a listener. So thank you very much. It's bringing people out. And anything you got, I'll listen to. Thank you. All right, let's move on to the next one. And this one comes from Gurinder. He says, hi, DJ. Regarding the Wonder Woman lasso, I wonder if the animation in the lasso not showing up in the Justice League video is due to the projector blowing out the details in the image due to the overall brightness of the image. I know that projectors can have an issue with HDR highlights and brightness. Have you watched that scene on an HDR-capable TV? I am assuming you are watching on your Sony projector. Have a good one, Gurinder. P.S. I think I will eventually pick up this disc. So what Gurinder's referencing here is a couple of weeks ago, I talked about Justice League, the Snyder Cut, and going between Justice League and the Snyder Cut, Snyder Cut is a little dimmer. It's just a darker tone. The overall movie is a darker tone. So the Snyder Cut, the details in that lasso season, when Wonder Woman in the first chapter pulls the guy up and is like using the lasso, there's a glow to it and there's a ton of detail in it that is just completely blown out. And he brought up a great point that maybe it's the projector, but I don't, and I was going to try to look this up in my house, but I don't have another calibrated TV in the house that would even be able to tell the difference. And they are all HDR capable, but obviously TVs and OLEDs, they're going to be better. But I think the overall point is in the Snyder Cut, because it's a dimmer image, we're able to see that because it's not clipping it. And that's what's really nice. But you have to A-B and it's not hard to do. I mean, it is a glaring difference between Justice League and the Snyder Cut and how it looks. So it's not like, I mean, you can watch Snyder Cut one day and go back and see Justice League the next day and you're going to see what I'm talking about. It's not like, well, you got to do it quick, otherwise you won't notice the difference. It's ridiculous. So even if your TV can show, like if there's detail there, it's still, the overall image is just wrong to me. judging by the movie, judging by what we see in the Snyder Cut, how it plays to the movie. I went over it in that podcast. If you haven't heard that podcast, it's a couple of weeks earlier. Go back and listen to that. And it really is. The Justice League disc is really pointless now. It just, I still can't get over it. I loved that movie. And now knowing what I've seen and knowing what I know about the Snyder Cut, it really is just a big, big difference. And the Snyder Cut makes so much more sense and looks so much better. But yes, we get into a little bit more of this in a second because of HDR, how projectors work and stuff like that. So we'll move on for that for right now. So up next is Francis says, have you seen Clickbait? And I said, no, I haven't, but it's on my wife's list of shows to start watching. And he says, I can't stop watching it. And I was like, sounds good. And he said, you should watch it ASAP before the internet spoils it for you. So I will actually file this on show notes as a recommendation, because I think that's the only one I have, but this week. But yes, Clickbait on Netflix is, I've heard great things, and Francis is also saying great things. So definitely, if you have the opportunity to start a series, looks like this is one to definitely start. So next up, more from Gurinder. Hi, DJ. Just listened to the current episode. Tell Aaron, not sure of spelling, the home theater is never completed. I can't, off the top of my head right now, I can't remember who he is exactly referencing here. But if you've sent in a comment about your theater's almost done and your name is close to Aaron or whatever, words to live by in this, my podcast, AV Rant will tell you, HD guys will tell you, any real home theater fan will tell you, your home theater is never done. It is never completed. It will always be evolving. Now, doesn't mean that, like, you're talking about, like, I can finally sit down and watch a movie. That means done. I get it. But it is a running joke that you never say your theater's done, because there's always something else to do. And our final topic for today, the Kaleidoscape, is evidence of that. So, all right. Great point, Gurinder. I like that. I should have said that myself when whoever this was, Aaron, whoever this was, said that, because I say it all the time. All right. Now, back to this is the point that we were talking about projectors clipping. And this is Gurinder again. And Gurinder says, hi, DJ. I just heard last week's AV Rant, and I think I had JVC and Sony tone mapping reversed. Per AV Rant, Sony keeps detailing the highlights, and JVC will clip them to maintain more brightness. And then I said I heard the same thing, but I thought it was actually reversed. So he did have it right the first time. I asked him for a timestamp, and we neither of us could remember the timestamp on that. So I just went to, why not? I just went to Rob directly, and Rob and I discussed this, and it is, without getting into all of the nitty gritty, because that's AV Rant's, you know, thing, but without getting into the nitty gritty, Sony's will clip the higher end because they're trying to keep the overall image consistent. Okay. The brightness consistent. JVC's, they do dynamic tone mapping scene by scene, frame by frame. So they're able to, if it's a bright scene, they're able to actually tone map that down, and you could actually get a little bit more detail. All that, Rob and I went back and forth on this a bunch of times, like, we're just like different ways of doing it. I use my 820 and my Panasonic 820 to do the tone mapping, send it to the Sony does some, a little bit of tone, whatever. But at the end of the day, we're talking, like, you know, slight differences here, not the differences that we're seeing in, like I'm saying, in the Justice League compared to the Snyder Cut. That's not that big of a difference. It's a little bit more than it. That's a lot. That's huge. So, I mean, projectors are limited compared to an OLED, but at the same time, where we get the size with a projector that you can't get with an OLED, you're actually able to see sometimes a little bit more detail because now all those little tiny details are bigger. You get it. I think it's tough because it's, I've seen OLEDs, I've looked at it and they look great, but they just don't, to me, they just don't have that huge size, that dynamic look of when you, and I know you can sit closer to it and all of that. But for me, I just love the idea of a giant screen, like when you're at the theater and it's a giant screen and you might lose a little bit of detail in the absolute high end of the highlights and the low end of the, you know, the black levels. But I mean, your overall image, pretty damn close with the projectors now, and they're only getting better. So, I mean, I, you know me, that's what this podcast is about. I'm about the overall environment and I try not to dwell on the nitty gritty like that, but it's fun to pick out things that I can see and hear. And that's what we do here, but it's, hey, to each his own. And I love talking about it. So all the comments, I appreciate all of them. Bring them on. All right. Let's see. Oh, this one here. From G Cornell. I said last week I would record the drag racing and I did. I recorded it late last night. As I record this, I have not had a chance to sit down. I had a long day. Long day at work, long day at this. I've got meetings to go to. I've got all this stuff. So I haven't even had a chance to sit down and watch TV and push play on anything, to be honest with you. Just sitting down with you guys. This is my opportunity to talk home theater today. So I will be watching the, what is it? The Carolina Nationals, I think it is, the NHRA Nationals in my home theater this week. I'll have more on that next Tuesday and we'll talk about that then. All right. We got, this is from Carl. He's like, I painted my entire room with Muso Black, the world's blackest paint. And he was basically asking the home theater podcast different ways to use black in the room. And I use velvet. I don't like the idea of going all black in the room. I think that's a little overkill, but people do like that. But he had some swatches. Rob really helped him out with that. But it's, I mean, I use, when I built my masking, I use this black velvet, works perfect. I've used it as curtains. You can actually see behind me, I have an old curtain on this side. Actually, you can't see them behind me because I'm not on YouTube right now. But when you watch my podcast, one side's a black sheet and the other side is a black velvet curtain. And you can see the slight differences in that. But my advice on anything, blacking anything out, always, whatever you find, make sure you can always go back to it. Because regardless of what you use, what you want to do is be consistent and keep using the same one, because as soon as you change, there's going to be slight differences in the way that the velvet might be crushed, the way it just like lays, and you're going to get a different look and you're not going to like that. So find something that, one, you can afford, two, is abundantly available, so that when you go to upgrade something later and you want to change something out that you've made black with, whether it's the paint or a velvet cloth or something, just be consistent. Make sure you have enough to always be consistent, because if you go to change something and it's not going to match. And I know that from my home theater, and also from doing my real job, painting cars. It's like, you got to be consistent. Otherwise your eye will pick that up and it won't look right. And especially when all the lights are out and one set of black velvet is actually grabbing the light and crushing, you know, getting rid of it. And another might have a little sheen to it just because it's a different product. But just try to be consistent. All right, moving on. G Cornell, Nobody, talking about the movie Nobody. Bonus features on the disc include two commentaries, which I'm midway through. And he asks, which commentary did you like more? And I haven't been able to listen to them. I haven't been able to listen to commentaries consistently probably since I started this podcast. One of the things I wanted to comment, I love commentaries. I love listening to them. I listened to the commentaries for Midway. I recently listened to the commentaries for Hurricane Heist. I did a little bit of that and did some of the extras in that. I used to listen to, especially my Laserdisc days, I listened to everything. But that was one before I had kids and I had nothing else to do. So that's what I would be doing. I am so busy right now trying to do this stuff. Something's got to give. And what's funny is I know a good friend of mine who's a listener right now. He asked when I started doing home theater podcasting that I would talk about commentaries. And I was like, absolutely. I love doing that. It'll get me back into it. And it's one of those things that I wish I could talk more about. To sit down and watch these things, you know, and watch a movie over again just for the commentaries is really hard right now. Cause it's like, you can't just speed through it because it's all audio. So I would love to do it. And here's what I'm going to say to you guys, not just G Cornell, everybody listening. If please let me know. Don't just let me know what's a good commentary. If you hear good comments, let in the commentaries or in the special features, let us know. This is the place I want to talk about that stuff. I want you guys to tell me about the commentaries and then I'll bring them on here because that gives me an opportunity to hear about what's in these commentaries. And anybody new listening that isn't really familiar with commentaries or the special features and stuff like that, they'll hear, well, oh, that's a pretty cool little note right there. Maybe I'll check that out or whatever it is. So I wish I could listen to them more. I just don't have the time, but I would appreciate anybody passing on any information about commentaries, special features, stuff like that. And that's what that'll make this even a better podcast. So really appreciate that, G Cornell. Next up, Mark V with, hey DJ, you kind of blew my mind with the Matrix discussion yesterday. Maybe the mirror was a mirror link where you can download the original program from an alternate computer. My thought is Neo is seeing his original mirror link, him being the original older program on a different computer, when he looks in the mirror. He's the original program and someone downloaded him from the mirror link, or that's what the red pill does to get him on the other computer / Matrix. Now I can't wait to find out and I hope they reveal that mystery to us, LOL. And I'm like, that's a great point as well. That's a great theory as well. Who knows? And that's why I brought that up. And that's what I love about the Matrix. That's what I love about that trailer. Is even once we get the answer, there's still going to be interpretation because that's what the first movies were. We were all interpreting, what does it mean? How much, like, what does all this do? Where does it go? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to me? All of that fun stuff that you can just have great discussions about. And I'm really looking forward to this movie. I think, you know, I foresee us having some discussions here, especially once that movie comes out. We'll be talking about theories and not just about the big explosions and the special effects and all that, but that's just a great movie to delve into at all levels. So thanks, Mark. YouTube comment from Mr. Motown. Hey, one of your favorite movies, Sucker Punch, is now in Dolby Vision on iTunes and Vudu. Thank you. I have that on disc. Maybe I will check that out though. It's on iTunes. Maybe I will pick that up and see how good it looks. I have Dolby Vision on my TV upstairs, but I'm wondering how much better if they're improving that, if it's going to look better than the Blu-ray on my projector. That would be a good AB. I'll check that out. Cause that movie, much like, you know, like Snyder Cut, like 300, there's actually a lot of scenes in the Snyder Cut that look very similar in tone to Sucker Punch in different scenes in Sucker Punch. So, that one, Dolby Vision can do a lot for that. I mean, a great, you know, cut of that will do a lot for that movie too. Any of his movies, really. So, all right. Thanks, Mr. Motown. All right. Next up, we have a conversation from Steve George talking about Junior Mints. He's like, I said, you got to try them. And he's like, I'll give them a try for sure. Maybe a third Bright Side podcast is in order, focusing on trying and reviewing snacks. And I go, you mean a third day of the week? And he says, just kidding, DJ. And I said, I have another day in the works. So adding a fourth wouldn't be so bad. And he says, oh man, you're really going to be busy. It's awesome though. And the extra podcasts do mean that the question/comment section gets to breathe a bit more. Keep it up, buddy. Your dedication is amazing. And thanks, Steve, as always. But this conversation is where I might as well put it out right now. So my third day of the week is going to be the home when I feature a home theater. So home theaters are going to be featured on Thursdays. Home Theater Thursday, I'm going to call it. See how I did that? See what we're doing? And aren't I so creative? Woo! So instead of coupling those in and giving those theaters some time, now it does. We're not going to have one every week, obviously. When I can get these produced and get them out, those will also be on YouTube as well. It's going to be a YouTube video, and I'll put out the podcast as well. But those will drop on Thursdays, so when I can do them, and that's what I planned on doing. Now, if we wanted to do a third day of the week, why not? I don't mind. I mean, if people want to talk about all of the fun snacks that we have, we got to pick a day. And when I get enough to talk about, I'll talk about it and I'll drop it on that day, because it doesn't have to come out every week. The Tuesdays and Fridays, unless something seriously happens, there will be a podcast every Tuesday and every Friday. That is my goal. And if I say I'm going to do it, I get really upset at myself if I don't make it. So you can almost guarantee all of those. Obviously things happen, but all the other days as they come and as I can get them out, I will do them. So that'll be fun. Or if you guys have anything else, I don't know what else what other days could we do? I don't know. There's only 7 days. So, and I always take Sundays off. That's the one day I don't do anything except for hang out with my wife. All right, moving on. We have an email from Carl, and it's basically an email. So Carl sends us emails all the time, as I say, every week. But he starts sending me emails about comic books now, because Carl's getting into the comic book world. For those of you that do listen to me on my Bright Side Chat podcast with my buddy John, where we talk comics all the time, Carl's getting interested in comics, and he likes listening to us. And I have a lot of listeners coming over there, and the comments I'm getting are, I don't even know comics. I just love your banter, DJ. You and John are great, this and that. And people just like to hear us talk, which is kind of funny because John and I are laughing like we're just idiots. But hey, okay. So that I think is great. And one of the things is, so Carl's going to be going to his local comic book store. And what I was telling him is you don't even have to buy anything. You can just go into these comic book stores and hang out. And if you want to learn about comics, trust me, everybody in there wants to talk to you. That's how I got the idea. John and I got the idea of doing Bright Side Chat, was because we love to talk comics. He owns a comic book store and he sits in the store and talks all day. There's a huge misconception, especially with girls and women, that they're not welcome in there. And my daughter's been on my Bright Side Chat podcast a bunch, and you're very welcome in there. They love to talk about comics. They don't put anybody down for not knowing enough. As long as you don't go in and go, I know this, and you think you know more, but no, just go in and say, I want to learn, and what's all this mean? And trust me, you'll have a hard time getting out, because once they start talking, I was talking with a guy once that teaches comics in college. He's a professor, and that's what he teaches. So there's a lot of people out there, and they're all in these stores. They love to talk comics. And I say all that to say this. The last thing I said to Carl in my reply back to him is, I wish there was a place like that for home theater. And there isn't anymore, at least not in my area. If you guys have a place like that where you are, let me know. That would be awesome. I would love to interview people running a place like this. Because that's when I used to go when I bought Laserdiscs, and I've told people in the past, that longtime listeners, I haven't talked about Dave in a while, but Dave owned the Laserdisc store, and I used to go in there on Thursdays, and I would be buying a Laserdisc a week, but I would hang out for like 2 hours, and just, we would just hang out, talk home theater, talk about movies, what was coming out later, what they were going to have on them at the time. It was like, this was when Dolby AC3 was coming out, and we talked about the, you know, the advent of that, and just basically generally nerdy stuff. Hey, generally, shout out to Generally Nerdy. You know, just hanging out and talking, which is basically what this podcast is about. That's what today is about. The Tuesday podcast is just hanging out and talking home theater. Any and all questions, any and all comments. And are there places where people can do this? Because you can't do it at the movies. It's not like you can just, after a movie, hang out in the lobby and say, hey, anybody want to talk about home theater? No, you can't. It's like, where can you go? I mean, you can go to a store, but they're usually trying to sell you on something. Like, trying to sell you on speakers, and if you just wanted to hang out and chat, they're usually not as interested. There's a few places, but anybody knows of any place in their area, let me know, and we'll highlight them, and maybe other people will be in that area. That would be great. So, all right, moving on. And now we get to this week's top talk. Easy for me to say. Topic. Which is basically what my podcast was on Friday. The Got a Passion for Home Theater? Kaleidoscape does too. All right, let's start off with how I came up with that title. I didn't honestly know how I was going to talk to Kaleidoscape, how I was going to talk to Brett, because that's not what this podcast is about. When Joe suggested that I talk to Brett, this was months ago, 6-7 months ago, easily, excuse me. And when Joe asked me, I was like, yeah, of course, I'd love to do it. And I was like trying to think of a way to make it part of my podcast, because like the, you know, obviously the AV Rant guys, the HT guys, they talk about hardware. They talk about all this, the nitty gritty and all of that stuff. So I was like, I wasn't sure how to do it, but I did want to do it. And I mean, I thought it would be fun, but I was, to be honest with you guys, I was very nervous about it. I didn't want to come off as like I don't know much, or come off as like, I'm trying to sell something either. 'Cause that's not what I'm trying to do. I just wanted to create an environment where we could just hang out and chat. And that's what we went with. And Brett was all for that. He was like, yeah, absolutely. Let's do that. And let's have some fun with it. And I just let it go. And we did. We had so much fun. And it was in the middle of talking to him that I came up with the idea for the name, because he is so passionate about home theater. And so is Kaleidoscape, obviously. Everything they do is what we love. They get to sit around and imagine ideas that's what we do, but now they get to implement them, right? And almost like the sky's the limit, because obviously cost isn't a factor, because their cost is high. So I mean, and there's a reason for that. They're pioneers too. They were the first ones to do this. And so to this day, they're still like cutting edge for downloadable movies and stuff like that. So it was just having Brett on, and it really kind of just made me feel like, I was like, yeah, everybody I'm running into is so passionate, and it's so much fun to talk to these people. And that's what I wanted to get across. Hopefully I got that across. Judging by the comments, and let's start to get to some of them, people really enjoyed it. And people, I mean, you know, if you want a great article, go read, you know, Todd Anderson's article over on AV Nirvana on all the little nitty gritty of it, like I said in the podcast. But you want to have a good time, and you just want to hear somebody that's really passionate about home theater, that's what I'm trying to bring you guys. So, all right, first up we have regarding that podcast, Theo, my buddy, well done. That's what he tweeted. Well done. Thank you. Rob H. says, good interview here. And he's retweeting my tweet about it with comment saying, good interview here. Interesting details given about some of the more subtle features Kaleidoscape offers that home theater nuts would enjoy. like making your own demo reel with clips from different movies and automatic masking triggers. And then we went on, there were comments there. It's like, Clara commented on that. It's like, you could also put clips to import Plex and use the playlist feature. And Rob said, yes, there are ways to do very similar things in Plex and even more so in Kodi. But that seems to be more hands-on. Kaleidoscape is trading money for time. And then Clara asked, does Kaleidoscape have volume normalization? I wish there was some way to set a volume trim level for movies, even if manually, would be especially handy in a demo playlist or script. And Rob says, they have volume normalization for music section. Same idea as Apple Soundcheck, where all tracks are analyzed and volume matched. For video, I'm only aware of player dynamic range compression. That could sort of work, but would, of course, rob you of the full dynamic range. Now, what Clara's saying is true. It's like, yes, you can do all of this. You can do almost everything in Plex, probably, and like Rob said, and even in Kodi. So, or on my Zapiti, I know I've seen the forums. You can make videos. You can do that. You can play anything. But the idea of Kaleidoscape, like Rob said very well here, is Kaleidoscape is trading money for time. And that's the difference. It's what you're getting with Kaleidoscape is like, it really is. It's ease of use. I have a Zapiti, and I'll tell you guys now, I asked Brett before we recorded, I'm like, can I talk about the Zapiti? I know it's competition and all for it. He was absolutely all for it. He goes, yes, I know we all know other things exist. And like he says in the podcast, he's not opposed to that stuff. What you can have and that what you have is great. Whatever you can do with your system, with your theater, that's great. He just wants you to, you know, he wants to show everybody what they have to offer. And that's, to me, that's the thing with Kaleidoscape, is that you can say, here we go. It's like, here, everything's ease of use. It's plug and play compared to the Zapiti. I did a lot of work with my Zapiti to get that thing going, and I'm sure they're going to do more, but it took me a lot. Whereas Kaleidoscape, boom, done. You just put it in, you turn it on, you sign up, and obviously you have to buy the movies, download the movies from them, but then you have them. I'll tell you another feature, and this is one of the things that is an issue with Plex, Kaleidoscape, any of those. All of your movies, you own those on Zapiti, Plex, because you probably have them on a hard drive somewhere. But if that hard drive fails, and you guys know I've had issues with that, if your hard drive fails, you're out of those movies. Kaleidoscape, if your hard drive fails, your Kaleidoscape fails, your Kaleidoscape gets stolen, anything happens, you just sign back in on a new Kaleidoscape, and there's all your movies, because it's to your account, not to, even though you've downloaded them, just like you can delete the downloads from your hard drive to create space, but you still own the movie, technically, you don't have to repurchase it. Question is going to come up in a second, too, regarding that. There's a lot of pluses and minuses to anything, to be honest with you. But the Kaleidoscape is, you're trading, exactly like Rob said, you're trading money for hands-on knowledge, stuff like, it's just easier to use. And as far as the scenes that you can make, one of the things I talked to Brett about, and I was like, how easy is it to do? And I can't wait someday to get a hold of one and get one for myself, actually. Because if it's that easy to create a scene, here's another idea that I had that I would absolutely love. And I said this to Brett, and he cracked up, and he's like, oh boy. If for any Kaleidoscape users out there, when I put out my podcast about movie, and I clip the scenes, there you go. If you happen to have a Kaleidoscape and that movie, if I can make those scenes, then you could just watch along on those scenes. I could actually put that out. And he's like, that's definitely could be done. And I was like, oh boy, here we go. My world is going to go upside down. So there's so many possibilities, and my mind is constantly spinning. So I don't know. What do we call that? Kaleidoscape Monday? I don't know. That'd be crazy. Anyways, that sounds like a lot of work. All right, let's move on before I put more things out on the table. All right, Martin Anderson says, great episode interview. Brett seems like a cool dude. Kaleidoscape has always been that unreachable piece of gear, and listening to you guys just makes me want it a little bit more, but it's a bit too pricey for me, I'm afraid. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, Martin. It is very pricey. It's a little pricey for me. I'm working on it. If you've seen me on Twitter, I'm saving my pennies. I got a text shortly before I started recording this from my buddy John, who runs Brightside Chat. And he says to me, this is the text. This is all I get. It says, okay, today, he said, you suck. Now I want a Kaleidoscape. He's like, I'll probably never get it. He goes, but I want it. I just laughed because he's like, you just made him want to go buy one. I was like, all right, well, okay. But we did talk afterwards. He goes, maybe someday, because when we go to retire, we're just going to want to sit back and watch movies. And hopefully he would have saved up enough money by then and he could get one. But it's, yes, they are great. They are a lot of fun. So, all right, moving on. On YouTube, Theo again says, thank you. That's it. Just thank you. And Theo, as every week, you're welcome. But that's great. People do that because that's how those algorithms work on YouTube. Like, how good is your podcast? How good is your video? It's all by comments. Even the negative ones. They don't care what the comment says. They just want to know that you got a comment. I mean, you could just leave a comment with a thumbs up, and that counts as the same as this big, long explanation of how much you love everything or how much you hate everything. They just want to see people talking. And I mean, it doesn't bother me either way. I'm not in this. I'm not going to make money on YouTube. I'm not that. Who am I? So I'm not worried about that. I just think it's funny. But thank you, Theo. I really appreciate it. Every time you comment, every time anybody does. Daddy077, one of my new followers on Twitter, he says, where can I find the video that shows how to create demo scripts? And I said, when I get one someday, I'll be sure to make that video. I go, because that is one of my favorite features. Absolutely one of my favorite features, because like I just said a second ago, I love the idea of maybe incorporating that into a podcast, but also exchanging videos with other people. Like, hey, I love this. And you can actually just ship it off to them. And if they have them, it creates a new environment for conversation, which I think is great. Brett Bjorkqvist commented on YouTube, says, hey, DJ, thanks for the time on this discussion. I had a blast and I can't wait to come back to dive into some movies. If any of your listeners want to learn more, feel free to reach out. And he means that. He really does, because he's already reached out to a few people because of the podcast. People have asked questions. He's jumped in and answered questions. He's done this. There's a question from today that I wasn't able to get back in touch with him actually, but eventually we will. But if you want to get in touch with him, super easy to do it. Because you know, there's a lot of information about this stuff and there's a lot of little nitty gritty things and we just had a good time talking, but you know, everybody's got questions. So, and he's been great about it. All right. Next up, Carl says on YouTube, very informative. Had never heard of this company before outside your podcast. Nice rental options for us users that rarely revisit the same film. And then Brett replied, thanks for listening. Happy to chat if you have any additional questions. And the comment I'd like to make about that is a great point about the rental options, is because now you're renting obviously there's a big price to get into this for rental purposes. But if you're a collector, like Carl is a collector, he does have some physical media, but he only buys his absolute favorite stuff. And if that's the case and you could afford a Kaleidoscape, then you now are able to rent basically the highest quality discs at, and you know it's only going to be the highest quality. So you're renting those 4K and maybe in the future 8K, whatever it is, but you're always renting the best quality discs, as opposed to if you're streaming it, you know you're streaming, so that's not the same quality. And there's not a lot of 4K places that will rent a lot of stuff, or not a lot of 4K rental places. So then they have to ship, like the old Netflix, you have to ship out the disc and send it back and all this, where Kaleidoscape, a little bit different. The other thing I'd like to say to Carl is, I'm like, I thought it was funny that he'd never heard of the company before. And I think he had, but I think that's one of those things, like when I heard of Zapiti from this podcast, I had two home theaters submitted to me like a year ago, and back-to-back weeks, they both had Zapitis, and I had said in those podcasts that I've never heard of the Zapiti before. But then when I looked at it and started researching it, one of the first things I found was an article that I knew I had read. And I told you guys that like a year ago. I'm like, this had been around. I just took it off of my radar because it was so expensive. And Zapitis are cheaper than Kaleidoscape. But when you look at their entire package, sometimes that can seem too daunting. And it was too daunting. So I didn't even think about it. But then when it was broken down, I started to talk to some of you guys that have Zapitis, and you can do it for cheaper with a little bit more, you know, sweat equity, where you work to get what you want. So I bet you, Carl, you have heard of it. It just wasn't on your radar. So it just like, you just kind of dismissed it, because they've been around for a while. I've known about them since pretty much day one. Like I said, early 2000, 2001, 2002. And I've been enamored by them because I love that idea of just access and push a button, and that, you know, all your movies are up there on the screen. The display looks great. You click on it and the movie just starts. And I just loved that idea. And it's always just been about the price. And that's, you know, that still is the issue pretty much. I think we get into a little bit more of that in a few minutes. Thomas says, great show, DJ. Brett was a great guest, and this was very informative regarding the Kaleidoscape platform. I'm going to be taking a hard look at the new Compact Terra. And thank you, Thomas. Obviously, if you're listening this far, I had a blast. It was a lot of fun to do. G. Cornell sent an email. Kaleidoscape. Was considering Kaleidoscape, but my passion as a movie lover includes the commentary tracks. In Nobody, we find out in the commentary track that Odenkirk did all of his stunts except get thrown through the bus window. Little tidbits like this are essential ingredients and contribute to the passion you reference. If I'm going to invest in this product, I need all the bonus features as well as the commentaries to be available. Take a look at their offerings. Have you seen any commentaries? For some movies, you must buy and not rent the movie to get the bonus features. Nobody, no bonus features are offered, nor the two commentaries. When you have Kaleidoscape in your home theater, will you compare the images of the 1080p and the 4K HDR content you download versus what you own on disc? I trust you have good eyesight and will give an honest and detailed assessment. As my projector is 1080p, the 1080p disc versus the 1080p Kaleidoscape comparison will be of great interest. Now press play. And G. Cornell, thank you for ending it that way. That was great. I would love to just go press play right now, but I got some more talking to do. And so let's get to this. Let's break this down. What I replied to G. Cornell was one of the first things I thought of after I hung up with Brett. And I was like, oh, I had that. I wanted to ask about commentary tracks. I wanted to ask about special features. Because that, or extra feature, you know, the extras, I wanted to know about that. And it was, obviously you saw the way those go. I'm not a professional. I had a couple of notes on things I wanted to get to, but I get off track, and obviously, but he is going to be coming back. I can learn about this. I'm sure he'll let me know in the meantime, but we'll talk about, these are questions that we'll bring up next time. I think next time I have him back, I am going to put it to you guys and we'll get the questions and we'll do a Q&A with them. I think that would be a lot of fun too. But Yeah, I would love to know about that. And I haven't looked. And much like I was saying about Carl earlier, I don't really delve too deep into Kaleidoscape. I don't get into all of the things they offer because as of right this second, I can't really afford one. So it's kind of like I can't afford Ferraris, so I try not to drive them, you know? So it's like if I sitting down with him on Friday, my biggest goal was to get out of there without emptying my wallet. And I made it, but it's getting harder and harder because you see all the great things. I would love to get that information for you. Brett, you know, I can put you in touch with Brett and he can answer any and all questions if you're really interested. And if you see like maybe with the rentals, you don't get the bonus features. That might be the case, but that's not unusual because Apple iTunes is kind of like that too with some of this stuff. You don't get everything unless you buy it. But the last question you had here, when I have a Kaleidoscape, will I compare the content? Absolutely. I cannot wait. I was thinking about it like all along. I'm like, I would love to get a Kaleidoscape, compare it to my Zapedi, compare it to my Panasonic, you know, 820, compare, you know, to the physical media, compare it to streaming, do all of that, see what the difference is. Because when I first got my Zapedi, I went back and forth and back and forth between my 820 and the Zapedi to see the difference. And I think I said to G. Cornell, I'm like, one of the things I found was 98% of the time, I would say 98.5% of the time, the Zapedi, they were dead on. And the other 1.5% was half the, and that where it was a difference, half the time there was a difference, the Zapedi was better. And half the time the difference, the disc was better. The 820 was better. And it was very, and that's what's funny there is the only time now, and I'll let you guys know this, almost every movie I review, I'm doing through my Zapedi. So I'm not even using the 820 anymore because the only time I go back and I use my 820 is because I think the image that I'm looking at isn't very good. And so I put the disc in to double check and make sure. And if I see a difference, then I'll be like, oh, okay, there's an issue here with the Zapedi, and I only have a handful of scenes with the Zapedi, and it comes at the most extreme black levels, and it does a little bit of banding, something that you would see compared to like on an Apple TV but I think in my estimation, that's more about my projector not being, because the 820 is going to tone map that stuff for me, where my projector, I'm not really doing a lot of that with the projector. I have a feeling that either a JVC would take care of that, or maybe even, you know, an upgraded projector would take care of that, because the people I've talked to with better projectors than mine, they never see a difference. And I think my 820 is compensating for any little issues I have with my projector. Okay. But the Zapedi, every now and then, I will find something that I found to look better on the Zapedi than it does on the 820. And that's the scenes in like 300 or in Die Hard, or I'm not looking for that. I'm not actually watching on the 820 and then going, I don't AB it anymore. When I first got it, I was ABing for the first like 3 months, everything I watched in both to see a difference. And once I trusted the Zapedi that much, that's what I went with explicitly, because it's just so much easier to scroll too. If I tried to do what I do with when I was doing it with my 820, you can't jump ahead the Zapedi. I can jump ahead 10 seconds. I can jump ahead 1 minute. I can scrub much easier to analyze my scenes and do all the stuff that I'm doing. So I will definitely be doing that with Kaleidoscape as well someday. And I'll be going back and forth and looking at what is better, what has the better image. And that's one of the things I wanted to see if Kaleidoscape could clear up one of the little issues that I have with the Zapedi. And it's a very, very small issue because it hardly ever pops up. So, but yes, absolutely will be, you know, delving into that A being, and actually at this point it'll be like A, B, C, and D-ing, because it'll be Kaleidoscape, it'll be Zapedi, it'll be disc, it'll be streaming. And then, you know, for G Cornell, we're talking looking at 1080p versus 1080p. It's like, I mean, lots of fun to be had. All right, next up, this is from Joe. This is the guy that set this all up, this entire Kaleidoscape interview. Joe says, guys, I got a chance to listen to the show on the way home today, and I really enjoyed it. It was apparent how much you both care about home theater and appreciating movies in the best way possible. One thing I heard DJ ask about was how Kaleidoscape works with projectors and having a JVC projector and Strato. I wanted to mention that both UHD and with SDR and HDR versions of the 4K files are available for download for many movies. So users who don't have the ability to do dynamic tone mapping can still take advantage of the better quality files without them being too dark. DJ, if you ever want to talk through home theater system design on the air or off, let me know. I just renewed my Cydia ESCD for the 10th year. Take care, guys. Joe, and yes, I'm not penciling you in. I'm my big marker. Joe, you're coming on. I owe you that. And two, I think it would be a blast. Absolutely. That would be a lot of fun talking about home theater system design, all of that stuff. Just chatting home theater, because apparently these interviews are people are enjoying. And I really enjoy them too. It gives me a chance to sit down and relax and just have a good time talking with people, like I said earlier. So I really appreciate, Joe, thank you very much. And we'll definitely hook up. Next up, we have Kaleidoscape from John. If you bought a used Kaleidoscape on eBay, would you have access to buying movies? I see used ones on eBay for like $600. Even if it didn't have much storage and you had to download frequently, you would have access to their library for $600. In interview, I didn't hear any charge for account or any yearly monthly fee. Great points, John. I don't know. Now, this is the one that I did reach out to Brett about. And as we've been sitting here talking, I keep checking my email because I know he's very busy, and it's hard to, sometimes it is hard to get him when you absolutely need him. But I can find this out for you, and I will put you in touch with him. My guess is yes, but I'm not sure, because he did mention in the podcast that if you bought an older system, they still are running. They recognize all of their customers. Everything is just updated, and they appreciate their customers all the way through. So I think you could, but here's where I'm not sure, because I know, like, right now, the way you download, if you get one system, you download at one speed, you get another system, you download at another speed. So I'm not sure if you bought an old system, if it would be compatible. And I think, but I do know, like, if you wanted to take your movies and load them in, he said that in the podcast as well. It's like, you'd have to get an older system. So maybe that would work. I'm not 100% sure. And these are all great, great questions. And this is why I said, I'm like, yeah, we're going to have to do a question and answer with them. So I think that would be a lot of fun. I don't know about a charge for yearly or monthly fee, stuff like that. Not really sure. So sorry about that. I wish I had an answer. I tried to get one, but we will see. And this one from Martin. Thank you, DJ, for September 17th podcast. And he says, hello, DJ. Great informative show with Brett from Kaleidoscape. I was wondering what will happen if Kaleidoscape goes out of business. Hopefully it will not. I am asking because when Ultraviolet migrated the platform to another service like Google Video, I ended up losing 75% of my digital collection in the process. Needless to say, it was very frustrating. Thanks, Martin, and he signed off Martin. But yes, that is a risk, because to be fair, I mean, I off the top of my head, I would say, yeah, they're done. You'd lose everything. That stinks. It really does. I think Brett would even say that, like, yeah, if they're gone, where's their servers? If their servers shut down, where you lost everything. And that would stink. It really would. But like I said earlier, that's one of the advantages of, like, with the Zapiti, you have your own hard drives. Those are yours. They can never be taken away from you. You own those movies. But if you lose those or those fail, you lose everything, but you still have the disc, right? So that's one thing. If you go on to iTunes and you buy all your movies through them, which I know a bunch of my listeners do, that's when I did the Zapiti, I had quite a few people tell me, I don't need a Zapiti. I have a Zapiti. It's called iTunes. And they get, iTunes does a lot what Kaleidoscape does. If the movie gets upgraded, you get the upgrade for free, right? It's a hell of a lot cheaper, but it's not the top quality. And it's good, and it's getting really good. But yeah, I got to say that if they went out of business and their servers are shut down, you're not getting those movies anymore. Unless you can download them to your Kaleidoscape hardware. Now, once it's on your hardware, I'm sure you could keep that, I would guess. And especially if Kaleidoscape was going to go out of business, I would hope they would say, like, get everything onto a hard drive because the servers aren't going to be active. But I'm just spitballing here. I have no idea. But it is. It's a risk, and it's a great question. But they also have been around since 2001. So, and they're still growing, and they're doing well. They have a marine division, for God's sakes. So that blew me away. But it is a risk. And when you're people like us, that this money means a lot to us, it is quite the risk. Whereas I think for many, many years, a lot of their clientele, they didn't care. If it went away, they'd be like, oh, my movie's not playing. Okay, let's go jump off the end of the yacht and go swimming. I don't know. So it's, you know, we're in that, I think we're in new ground here with people that, you know, this is a little bit tighter budget for us. And that is a great question and a great thing to think about, because if it goes away, you're out. Okay. Next up from Vince. Hi, TJ. And my name is DJ Vince. No problem. Everybody does it all the time. But if my name is DJ, as in disc jockey. DJ. And my real name's David, by the way, for anybody that doesn't know that already. But hi, and I'll say it, DJ. I really enjoyed your latest podcast with the rep from Kaleidoscape. I agree that as of right now, it is the premier system for storing and watching lossless video and audio, 4K video and audio. Their price point, however, puts it out of reach for me. One thing that contributes to their high prices is that they don't really have any competition in that space. I guess the closest is Zapiti, but from what I've heard you say about it, it doesn't seem to measure up to what Kaleidoscape is doing. Giving that access to high-speed internet is expanding. I wouldn't be surprised if, in the future, some of the streaming services or the studios themselves offer a way to stream lossless 4K video and Atmos. Not sure what internet speed it would take to do that, but until that happens, I can't see any reason for Kaleidoscape to reduce pricing. I enjoy your podcast and hope you will continue to do interviews like this. By the way, my sister lives in Boston, so next time I'm up there, maybe we can get together for some stuffies and little necks and maybe a few beers. Keep up the good work, Vince. When you're up here, Vince, hit me up. Absolutely. State's not that big. I can meet you. No big deal. I travel all day, every day. I'm all over the state anyways. So driving to me is fun. My son played hockey and I was all over New England. 3 hour down and back, 3 hours away and 3 hours home is no big deal for me. And it wouldn't take that to meet you in Massachusetts for sure. So yeah. But as far as the downloading, streaming a lossless video is, that would be really, really difficult. Because that you're talking 100 gigabytes, and you'd have to have quite the buffer going. And that's why what Kaleidoscape does, and we're going to get to that in this last question as well. So let me read that last question. Let's see. Yes. Let's talk about the competition first, and then we'll get into the streaming versus downloading topic. So, yes, there is no competition right now. Every time, like, Zapedi is the closest, but as I said earlier, that's a little bit more hands-on. If you wanted to go with the Zapedi and their hard drive, their proprietary hard drive system, that gets you closer to a Kaleidoscape, but now you're closer to a Kaleidoscape and price too. So you're talking almost $5,000 for that whole system at Zapedi. And now and then you have to purchase the hard drive. So you're almost getting to the entry level of Kaleidoscape, and it's a little less, you know, a little less hands-on than what I went through, but you still have to upload all your movies to it and everything like that. So I think the reason that Kaleidoscape has no competition right now is because every time somebody would even come close to them, they up the game a little bit. And I think the biggest thing for them right now is they are the only game, because they are literally, as Brett said, they're the ones talking to the studios. They call the studio, we want this movie. And they go, okay. Like Brett said, we want a movie. We ask them if they'll do it in 4K, and they do it in 4K, and they get it. And they don't, it's not even out on disc in 4K. So that kind of helps. In the future, I do think we're going to get closer and closer, but I'm not sure the price is going to come down tremendously, because here's why. My podcast, anything talking home theater, we are such a small, just take the entire home theater community as a whole, we are such a small percentage of the population of movie viewers, right? And as I said with Brett, and as we've said with a lot, all the podcast guys, all the home theater people, we look at like Blu-ray sales versus DVD sales versus 4K sales. 4K is always the least, because nobody really cares about the absolute best content, except for people like us. And that's a premium. We're looking for that premium. As we said earlier, our home theaters are always evolving. And when I was younger and these things were super expensive, I had so many other things I wanted to get. I mean, when I first heard of Kaleidoscape, I didn't even have a projector yet, and I wanted that. I wanted to upgrade my speakers. You're not talking about getting a Kaleidoscape until you're like, that's the, like, literally the last thing you need in your theater is a media server. Because what you're doing, everything before then is way, way more important. Unless you have such, you know, so much income, or your budget is so high, you're like, I just want one in my living room just because I want to have, all right, that's fine. But for people like us, home theaters, the last thing you need is this. So it's usually later on, and you're getting down to the nitty gritty. And most people, and Brett said the same thing, most people, 95% of the population, maybe 98% of the population, when you showed them something streaming and then showed them something on a Kaleidoscape, they'd be like, what's the difference? They won't see it. They won't hear it. But we do. We appreciate this stuff. And that's what's so much fun about the Kaleidoscape company. That's what's so much fun. That's why I titled it About the Passion. This is for passionate people. And there's not a lot of competition when it comes to the passionate people. And there probably never will be. And maybe as downloading becomes more prevalent, maybe, but I don't know. I'd never say never, but let's get to that last question. This is John again, and he says one check mark for physical currently is DTS:X. I don't think at this time DTS:X is streamable. That will, of course, change, but probably most movies released with DTS:X will be 5.1 on Kaleidoscape, unless they redo to Atmos. I looked up E.T. and Cliffhanger. They were 5.1. Jurassic Park was Atmos. So here's the thing that people get. Oh, and I replied to him, and I said, Kaleidoscape does do DTS:X, and I sent them the link to their DTS:X page. And he said, they must be the only ones I had yet to see streamable DTS:X yet. And the point here is streamable. And that's the part that a lot of people are having trouble with wrapping their heads around. And John, you're not the only one. Everybody, this is the one when I keep talking about this, Ara included. I remember I talked about this over a year ago with Ara about this is going to be the future of home theater. It might be the future of television, to be honest with you, because I've been thinking about this for a long time, in that one of the issues that we have is with streaming is like if you have slow bandwidth, you know, slow internet, it's going to take you a while to download and stream a 4K movie, and you might get that, you know, the spinning wheel, and it might freeze on you and all of that. Kaleidoscape is not streaming. It's downloading. So you don't watch the movie until you have the entire movie sitting there on your player. And that's what Brett was talking about last week, is that with their Terra systems, they're downloading, they have faster software to download these movies in 12 minutes, which is incredible speed. But you also have to have the internet speed at your house to download this. You're downloading it off their servers. Their servers are going to put it out as fast as you can take it. That is part of their service. That is part of their software. It's their package. Now, if you have, like, I have 1 gig here. I know a lot of people have it around the country. Some people don't. But even if you have, like, you know, 100 gig, it might take you an hour to download a 4K movie. Okay. That's an hour. How long does it take you to drive to the local Best Buy and pick up a disc? You know, it's not that hard. And like we said, you can download while you're at work. You can tell your Kaleidoscape on your phone, start downloading this movie for me. And it will at your house. Who cares? I mean, you can make your plans. You can make your plans that way. But we have to get our minds around the idea of downloading instead of streaming it bit by bit while we're watching it. And what you're getting on a Kaleidoscape is identical to or better than the disc, meaning more gigabytes. The disc is just the container to hold that digital information. Well, now that digital information is being held on a hard drive, but it's the same digital information. It's basic. I mean, if not more information. So the idea of, yes, DTS:X is not streamable right now. That's why Dolby Atmos is so much more prevalent and always has been, is because they've designed that in a way that to make it more compatible for streaming. So that's the default streaming service, you know, Dolby whatever, Dolby Atmos, Dolby Surround, Dolby 5.1, or the multi-in, which is the alternate, I guess. But Kaleidoscape is not streaming. It's actually you download the entire movie and then you get it. So if it's in DTS:X, and they have quite the catalog, I was looking at, they have all of like the Harry Potters on disc are in DTS:X. Same on Kaleidoscape. I didn't go through their entire collection, and maybe there are some differences because of what the studio gave them, but they do have DTS:X. Great question. That was great. Great way to wrap up. That was a lot. Thank you to everybody for all of the questions this week, all of the comments, whether it's about backslash and front slash and other slashes, whether we're talking junior mints. Let's just talk home theater. Thank you to everybody for all the comments. Thank you for everything about Kaleidoscape. Any other questions? I'm sure I'll have some more next week. We'll take them all. This week's podcast, we're finally getting to kick ass. That's what's coming out on Friday. So I look forward to the questions and comments about that and anything else you have. If you'd like to send me questions, you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com, or you can reach me on Twitter, whether you DM me or you can just tweet at me. Make sure you're adding me at brightsidehT on Twitter. And every day I come home now and I'm trying to save them all to a folder and I get them all here. So Some days maybe I forgot. So if you've made a comment and I didn't comment on it in the podcast, just shout me out and say, hey, dum-dum, you missed me. And I'll get it next week. Because I'm sure I make mistakes. I make tons of them all the time. So, all right. Thank you to all of my Patreon supporters. Really appreciate it. You can, if you'd like to support this podcast, you can go to patreon.com/brightsidehometheater. How'd I do? And if you'd like to support me, you can also go to TeePublic, search Brightside Home Theater, and you can buy t-shirts. Woo! But most of all, thank you very much for everybody following me on Twitter. Thank you to our new followers on Twitter, AV Nirvana, Generally Nerdy, Bill Odell on Twitter, and also Daddy077. Thank you guys for following me. Thank you, everybody. You will hear me on Friday talking about Kick-Ass. I'm going to be pushing play on some stuff because you know what's coming up next month? Woo! Halloween. So we're going to be doing all horror next month. I'm going to wrap the month up with a very special edition Brightside Home Theater. It's getting less and less special, if I'm going to be really honest with you. But we'll talk about it then. You'll find out what I'm talking about. So have a great week, everybody. I will see you on Friday. And hey, don't forget, go push play. Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.